Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. Okay, so let's jump right in. We're talking about systemic lupus erythematosus, or SLE, and it's really the classic example of a complex autoimmune disease.
It is. It's so heterogeneous it can attack almost any organ, and the core problem is the immune system getting confused. It starts seeing itself as an invader.
And that confusion, it often kicks off when our own DNA and RNA fragments are, well, in the wrong place at the wrong time, right?
Exactly. The immune cells find these nucleic acids and think, aha, a virus. And that false alarm is what really drives the chronic inflammation in lupus.
But what if, and this is the incredible part, what if that huge systemic breakdown could sometimes be traced back to just one?
One single genetic flaw.
Exactly. We're doing a deep dive today on a study that found a new monogenic cause of SLE. It's a recessive mutation in one gene that basically breaks the garbage disposal in our immune cells.
And when that cleanup system fails, all this nucleic acid debris just piles up. It keeps triggering the alarms, leading to this constant uncontrolled inflammation.
And the amazing thing is, figuring out that one specific failure gives you a direct path to a targeted treatment.
A very clear roadmap.
So we're going to get into how that single enzyme failure leads to a total systemic collapse and the surprisingly effective treatment that seems to shut it all down. First, though, we really want to give a shout out to the team behind this. Today, we celebrate the work of Kintao Wang, Hongao Zhu, Shangwei Sun, Changming Zhang, Chuangyu Ma, and all their colleagues.
Yeah, and the institutions, too, like Lianzhu Laboratory and Zhejiang University. Their work has given us such a sharp, high-definition picture of monogenic lupus.
Okay, so let's set the stage. SLE is usually really complex, but you mentioned monogenic lupus. What's the significance of that subset?
Well, it's a really crucial piece of the puzzle. Monogenic lupus is caused by a mutation in just a single gene. They're rare, but finding them, and we know of over 30 now, gives us these incredible insights into the disease's mechanics.
So by studying the simple cases, you can understand the more complex ones.
Precisely. And a lot of this comes down to these intracellular nucleic acid sensing pathways.
Right, you're talking about receptors like toll-like receptor 7, TLR7.
Which senses RNA.
Yep. And TLR9, which senses DNA. If they're always being triggered by our own cellular debris, the system just goes haywire.
And that brings us to the gene at the heart of this story, PLD4, that's phospholipase D family member 4.
Okay, PLD4, and where do you find it?
It's highly expressed in the immune system's first responders, you know, your dendritic cells, monocytes, B cells, the key players.
So what's its day job when everything's working correctly?
Its job is to be that garbage disposal. It's a 5' exonuclease. It lives inside cellular compartments called endolysosomes, and it chews up stray bits of single-stranded RNA and DNA.
So it's the gatekeeper. It makes sure that debris never reaches TLR7 and TLR9 to set off those false alarms.
That's its whole purpose. It maintains immune homeostasis. And we knew that mice without the PLD4 gene got autoimmune diseases, but its role in humans. That's a complete unknown until this paper.
So how did they connect the dots? Where did the investigation start?
It started with 5 patients, 5 individuals diagnosed with a very severe form of SLE.
And what did that look like clinically?
We're talking really aggressive manifestations. A big one was proliferative lupus nephritis, so serious kidney involvement, and major blood issues like leukopenia and anemia.
Wow. And the paper mentions some of them ended up on dialysis. That level of severity must have been a huge clue for the researchers.
Absolutely. That kind of aggressive early onset disease, it just screams monogenic. It points away from the typical multi-factor causes. So they went looking for that single gene.
Using whole exome sequencing, I assume.
Exactly. And it paid off. All 5 patients were carrying biallelic, meaning recessive, 1 copy from each parent loss of function mutations in the PLD4 gene.
And not just anywhere in the gene, right?
No, and this is critical. The mutations were right in the catalytic domain, the business end of the enzyme.
Which strongly suggests it's not gonna work.
It's a pretty solid prediction, yeah.
Yeah.
But of course they had to prove it.
So how do you do that? How do you confirm the garbage disposal is actually broken?
You test it directly. They purified the normal wild-type PLD4 protein and the mutant version from the patients. And when they put them in a test tube with a single-stranded DNA substrate,
the normal one chewed it up.
Right. And the mutant one just sat there. It was virtually useless. The exonuclease activity was severely impaired. The machine was broken.
Okay, so the link is established. Broken gene, broken enzyme. But then how do you trace the fallout from that single failure all the way up to kidney failure?
For that, they needed more advanced tools.
Yeah.
They used single-cell RNA sequencing on the patient's immune cells. They generated knockout mice lacking the PLD4 gene. They built a whole model of the disease.
And I saw they used something called mixed bone marrow chimeras. That sounds complicated. What was the point of that?
Ugh, that was a really elegant experiment. It was designed to answer a fundamental question. Is the problem cell intrinsic or cell extrinsic?
Meaning, are the immune cells with the broken gene the ones directly causing the problem?
Or are they just reacting to a toxic inflammatory soup created by other things?
And that distinction is everything, because if it's cell intrinsic, you know exactly what cells you need to target with the therapy.
Precisely. And what they found? Yeah. Well, the findings were incredibly clear.
So the first domino to fall was what you'd expect, right? The TLRs went into overdrive.
Yep. With PLD4 gone, TLR7 and TLR9 were constantly being activated. And that lit a fire under one very specific inflammatory pathway.
The type I interferon pathway, IFN.
The type I interferon pathway.
I mean,
they did a gene set analysis on the patient's blood cells, and the top hits were all interferon responses, IFN alpha, IFN gamma plus TNF signaling. It's a classic full-blown interferonopathy signature.
So a massive interferon signal, but where was it coming from? Which cells were screaming the loudest?
The single-cell data answered that perfectly. The signal was coming from the very cells that express PLD4. Dendritic cells and monocytes, mainly.
And in the mouse models.
In the PLD4-deficient mice, they saw a huge expansion of plasmacytoid dendritic cells, PDCs, and plasma cells, especially in the kidneys.
So those are the culprits. And that bone marrow experiment, did it confirm they were the source?
It did. It proved that the whole dysregulation was cell intrinsic. The PLD4 deficiency in the PDCs and plasma cells is what directly drives the disease. They are the engine.
I mean, that is just, it's so direct. You go from a single gene defect to a specific pathway type I interferon to a specific set of cells.
And that clarity gives you a therapeutic target on a silver platter.
Which led them to test the JAK inhibitor, baricitinib.
Exactly. It's an existing drug that works by blocking the signaling downstream of the interferon receptor. It was the perfect tool for the job.
Now, baricitinib worked wonderfully in the mice, but you have to ask, how sure are we that this single type I IFN pathway is the whole story in the human patients? SLE is usually so much messier.
That's a great question. And for typical multifactorial SLE, it is messier. But for this specific disorder, which the researchers have now formally named PLD4 deficiency disorder, or PLDD, it seems to be incredibly clean.
So in this PLDD, the interferon pathway really is the main driver.
It appears to be. I mean, in the mice, baricitinib didn't just dampen things a bit. It significantly rescued the major symptoms. The mice gained weight, their autoantibodies dropped, and most importantly, the immune deposits in their kidneys were massively reduced.
That kidney finding is huge. It suggests a targeted therapy could actually prevent that irreversible organ damage that led the patients to need dialysis.
That's a very promising sign.
Yeah.
And they went one step further. They took the actual human patient cells and treated them with baricitinib in a dish.
Yeah.
It markedly shut down that elevated type I IFN signature. The fact that the biology is so conserved between the human cells and the mouse model, that gives you a lot of confidence that this is a translatable finding.
So this isn't just about identifying a new rare disease. It's a direct proof of concept for personalized medicine in lupus.
Absolutely. Instead of hitting the whole immune system with a sledgehammer, for patients with PLDD, you could go straight to a highly targeted therapy.
And using it early might prevent that devastating progression to chronic kidney disease.
That's the hope. And, you know, looking at the bigger picture, this isn't just about PLDD. Previous large-scale genetic studies have hinted that PLD4 might be involved in rheumatoid arthritis and systemic sclerosis, too.
So this mechanism, this failure of the nucleic acid cleanup crew, might be a fundamental process in a whole range of autoimmune diseases.
It could be a much broader principle. Of course, the authors are careful to say that, you know, while the mouse and cell data are compelling, the next step has to be a proper clinical study in patients with PLDD to confirm these benefits.
Okay, so let's boil it all down. The big take-home message here.
I think it's this. PLD4 is a critical quality control guard in our immune cells. Its job is to find and destroy stray bits of our own DNA and RNA.
And when it fails because of a recessive genetic mutation, that debris builds up. It constantly triggers the TLR7 and TLR9 alarm bells, which in turn causes a massive runaway activation of the type I interferon pathway.
And that runaway pathway causes a very specific and severe form of lupus, PLDD, which is driven primarily by these hyperactive PDCs and plasma cells.
Right. It's such a clear linear story from gene to disease.
Which brings us to a really important question for the future.
Given this incredibly clear link between a specific genetic flaw, the resulting inflammatory pathway activation, and a targeted drug response, how soon could PLD4 genetic screening become a standard measure for patients with newly diagnosed or undiagnosed severe SLE to guide their precise and effective treatment strategy?
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
Signals in the silence. Stay, got the current, show the